believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Mexico, got married in 1963, moved to Michigan, and for the next 20 years, raised three children. Widowed at age 52, she rose from a shy housewife to the CEO of one of the 10 largest Hispanic-owned companies in all of America. Today, she owns 11 dealerships and is recognized as Michigan's most successful female business owner. Her name, Irma Elder. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us, on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's Jack.
We're with the woman that's recognized to be Michigan's most successful female business owner, Irma Elder. Irma, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here, but I'm not sure that I'm that successful, Jack, to be frank.
Can we call it survival.
Very
true. Success is a journey, not a destination.
That's right.
Can we start by talking about your childhood mm-hmm. and your parents?
I grew up in Mexico in a town for about 50,000 or 100,000 people, with everybody knew everybody else. Had wonderful parents and a wonderful childhood. And my father's brothers were living in Miami, Florida, and he wanted his children to get to know their cousins and their uncles and aunts. So he decided that he was going to move to the United States. And we left the safety of our town and our friends and move on to Miami, Florida, where I couldn't speak a word of English. I remember coming in the train from Texas to Florida, and when people asked us a question, we would say, "Me do not speak English," and that's about all. My sister and I holding hands, and that's all that we knew. And we went to a Catholic school, a small Catholic school in Miami, where the nuns taught us. You know, I would sit with the nuns after, during study periods, and we learned how to speak English. And wonderful, we moved to Miami in a wonderful neighborhood, and the people were just absolutely great. It sounds like I'm trying to say everything was goody-goody. That's not the case, but it was very nice times.
Very simple times, right?
Very simple times.
What were the biggest things you learned from your mom and dad, Irma?
Our mom and dad were... Our mom taught us love. I said, and our father was very intense in integrity and honesty and a good name. That was the most important thing to him, a good name. He also had a wonderful quality, loyalty. He taught us how to be loyal to the people that had been good to him through the years. He never forgot. He was very, very loyal. Our mom was very hardworking. She was very religious, very, very religious, and taught us how to be, how to have kindness and love for as many people as we could. I think that was a very good lesson. She always wanted the best for us, you know.
I think one of the things we're lacking today in this country is not enough people are willing to take risks. You know, your family moved from Mexico. You didn't speak a word of English. You go to school. You've got nothing. Talk about taking risks.
Well, you know, there are times when I first took over the business, there's many times when I thought I can't do that. Now we'll go to sleep, and in the morning you get up and you're ready to go again. You take risks because it gives you an opportunity. What is the worst that can happen? You fail. So you fall down and you get up again. Risk taking is scary, but I think there's also a wonderful way to look at it. And there is a wonderful part of life, you know, so.
I'm at 1963. And you meet a man named Jim Elder. Mm-hmm. Talk about your husband.
Jim was on vacation in Miami, Florida when I met him. He was a widower, and he came to Miami to rest for a few days rest, and I met him, and it was I was a hostess at a club that we belonged to. We had a dance, and I was in charge of the dance, and I was greeting everybody, and that's how I met him. And a week after I met him, he asked me to marry him. And my answer was, I don't think you want to marry me. You don't really know me. And his answer was, yes, I do. I says, no, you're looking at me as looking at a nice, sweet girl, but you're not really looking at me the way I am. I am sweet and I'm nice, but there's much more than that. I'm also a fighter. You don't want to marry me. Anyhow, he convinced me to marry him, and 4 months later, we met in February, and we got married in August.
A wise old woman once told me that a man chases a woman
until she catches him. Absolutely. That's absolutely true.
And the guy is caught long before he ever figured it out.
And that's true, too.
How was it you got up here to Michigan, and how was it Jim got the dealership?
Well, we did not have... Jim was not did not have the financial means, so we didn't have, so we set up a partnership. I would do the savings, and he would do the work. He would work and earn money, and I would save it. And to this day, of course, I show my kids books that I had where I accounted for every single penny so we can save as much as possible. But that's like telling him, they tell me, Mom, you're not going to tell us that you walk barefooted 2 miles to go to school, you know. They do not understand the concept. But when we had enough money saved, Jim approached Ford Motor Company. He was working for a Ford dealer and went what is called dealer development and bought a dealership in Troy Ford.
We're talking to Irma Elder. When we come back, we'll ask him about Jim's passing and how it was she decided to keep the dealership. And I'm Jack Crystal, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
Welcome back. We're with Irma Elder, and her Jaguar dealership is the number one Jaguar dealer in the world in sales in both new and used cars. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Since the economy, you know, I believe in honesty, and since the economy has gone down, we're not number one anymore. But we are number one in Saab. I mean, that's...
Yes, you are.
So we have to be honest.
It's November 1983, and Jim passes. You're raising three teenagers, mm-hmm. a son 19, a daughter 16, another son 12. By your own admission, you're the shy housewife. Everybody tells you to sell the dealership. You decide to keep it. Why?
Well, there were several reasons. Number one, not everybody told me to sell the dealership. My father says you have to stick it out. No matter what, you have to keep that business going. And my mother said, I'll pray for you. I mean, that's... But the reason that I kept the dealership, it's because we didn't have any other source of income. I mean, what do you do to raise three... You're a middle-aged woman. What do you do to raise three kids? You know, the 19-year-old was in college, and the other two... It was... And we were broke. You know, we were... It was 1983, was the worst time in the automotive industry until now. And we were absolutely almost broke. So I thought, this is the way to do it. And my family and friends, without my friends and family, I don't think I could have done it, but they were very supportive. And my one sister, who is an attorney, said to me, listen, Irma, if you failed, stick it out for a year. If you failed, you have gained more insight and you have learned a lot. You haven't lost anything. And you can sell it at that time at the same prices now. At that time, when people were buying dealerships, they were not paying any blue sky. You were only an asset selling. And how, you know, I did not know anything even about that. I mean, I would really have lost everything. So I decided to take a chance and do it.
Okay, your dad says, stick it out. Your mom says, I'm praying for you. Your sister, the lawyer, says, you know, you're going to lose nothing. And a month later, your general manager leaves, and he ends up taking with him every single one of your salespeople, except for two rookies.
That's true.
When you called mom and dad, what did you say?
There's no sympathy. I mean, just stick it out. I mean, you just have to work at it. And, you know, I believe that ignorance is blissful. And when you're ignorant, you really do not see the pitfalls in front of you. So you take chances that you might not take if you were much more knowledgeable. So I was ignorant about how tough could, you know, I was blinded to how tough things could be. And to this day, I don't know how we made it, but we did. Every day, every year, we learned something new. I met all of the pitfalls that dealers meet through the years, and which are very many. You know, people that were not honest and people that were not the best. But we managed to survive. I was lucky enough to, number one, my kids were very supportive. They were wonderfully supportive. Number two, I hired an office manager that was very, very good at what she did. She still is with me. I mean,
Molly.
Molly is too wonderful. Molly came a little bit later. But, and that's, no business can survive without people. And we have been lucky enough to hire the right people, to keep the right people, and to give credit to the right people. Without them, we wouldn't be here.
Some people are listening tonight and they're saying, Irma Elder, you're too nice to be a successful business owner. A lot of people believe that. What do you say to them?
I don't think there's anything wrong with being nice. I mean, none of us get here. Some people are so impressed with themselves that they think that they have done it. And that's not true. It's being at the right place at the right time, having the right people working with you. And there's nothing wrong with being nice. I think that in the ultimate end, the only thing you carry with you is your character or the way you live your life. And being nice, is there's nothing wrong with it. Besides, I can be tough if it's demanded, if it calls for it.
What advice would you give to women in business today, Irma Elder?
I would tell them, learn as much as you possibly can about whatever business you're involved in. Learn as much as you can about your community. And then never give up. If you fall, just remember, it doesn't happen just because you're a woman. Men fall too. The trick is to get up and keep on walking, or keep on working, or keep on doing what you want to do. Find new avenues if you have to. Don't ever say no to the door because you're afraid. Walk through the door. You never know what's going to happen. But never give up. Never give up.
How does one get over the fear of rejection in sales?
That's very hard. I mean, you just, that fear is with you forever. I mean, I have that fear, and I think I will always have it. It's with me. I can, people say, you're very successful. I said, I'm successful? I mean, I'm amazed that anybody thinks I'm successful. But the fear of rejection is something that is in you. I mean, you know, when we play sports, you watch a group of kids, young men, young boys, be in the little league. They play sports, and they come back, and if they lose, they know they're going to go there next week, and they're going to hit again, and they're going to win next week. But girls are not taught that. So it takes them a little bit longer. But we're tougher, though. Women are tougher than men.
Very true. So. All right. You're in front of 100 new salespeople, bright, young, fresh, you know, men, women. Talk to them about a customer.
Well, the most important thing you have is your customer. You cannot live without them. No business can survive without two things, and both of them are people. The customer, which is the most important, and the people that work at that organization. We can live without them. And I will say to them, treat your customer as gold, because they are gold. Treat them with respect. Learn what is it that they want. What do they need? Don't just sell them an automobile, for instance, because you want to sell that automobile. Make sure that that's the automobile that fits their needs and is what they want. And then take care of them all the time. You know, have a customer for life.
What advice, Irma Elder, would you give to somebody who wants to start a business today?
First of all, find out if there's a need for the particular business you want to open, and then learn as much as you possibly can about that business and how are you going to manage to do it, and do you like to do it? That's one of the most important ingredients. You must like what you do. And then go and find out the financing and how to do it and how to start. Do your homework.
What advice, Irma Elder, would you give to a recent widow this evening?
Oh.
With children.
I would say live. Don't think about what could have been. Enjoy what was. And keep those memories alive. And with your children, just teach them that they have to go on. And my daughter tells me a story that I absolutely do not remember, but she said it happened. She says that after her father died, and I will tell you why she told me this. After her father died, a couple of days later, she didn't want to go to school. And I told her, you have to go because you have to honor your father's memory. His life is going to be worth something. You're not going to, you're doing it not only for you, but for him. And my mother died, and I had a meeting, a Jaguar meeting, right after her funeral. And I wasn't going to go the day after her funeral. So she says, remember what you told me? I'm telling you the same thing. You're going to honor your mother's memory by going and attending this meeting and doing the very best. So I would say we go on, and we do the best we can.
We're talking Irma Elder. When we come back, we're going to talk to her about literally willing something to happen. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Irma Elder, who does have the number one Saab dealer. And this is what the president of Saab Cars USA says, Deborah Kelly Ennis. Quote, Irma Elder is one, I think, of the finest people I've ever met. She's an incredible businesswoman. Irma, I think if the truth be known, any successful entity, business, organization, it starts with that leader, and many times that leader just has to will things to happen. Talk to us about willing something to happen.
You have to make it happen. I mean, sometimes you are giving flour to make a cake, and you have to do it. You have to make it. It doesn't just happen. But in our case, you can will as much as you want to. If you don't get your hands dirty and start working with it, it's not going to happen. You know, in my particular case, I wanted to will it to happen, but it was not going to happen just by willing it. I had to get up and work. My kids had to be, they were very, very supportive. They were there for me. My family and friends were supportive. So they helped me make it happen. We were, you know, I remember coming home one night and my young son waiting for me to come home, and I felt so badly that he, you know, that I wasn't home for him in the early part of the evening. And he says to me, Mom, you look tired. If you want to sell, please do. But I'm going to tell you I'm going to buy it back someday. And, you know, that's because I, you know, I want us to go into business. They allow me to make it happen, you know. And we got the right breaks, too. I mean, you know, Ford Motor Company was very, very supportive of us. My friends were very supportive. And Ford never gave me money or they never did that. But they were there for me. They gave me advice. They gave me support. They, I remember asking one of our service men, the fellow from Ford that called to us on service. And I said to him, look, I want to know what are the statistics of 5 dealerships. He didn't give me any names, but around us. Tell me what are they doing. I want to see how we compare with them. and how much business are they doing, so I can see how can improve on our business. And even though our salespeople left us, we still kept our used car manager and for a year or two, and used car salespeople, and we kept all our service department intact, and that helped. You know, that happened. I got to tell you, every night I went to bed and I thought, I cannot do it. I used to tell my father, I cannot do it. He said, I want to hear that. You got to do it. And then the next morning, I would wake up refreshed and said, I'm going to will to make it happen. I mean, something happened throughout the night that gave me the will to get up and get going. And the trick is never to give up.
1% inspiration, 99% perspiration.
That's so right. But I think God walks with us too. My mother used to say that God takes care of widows.
Let's talk about surviving economic downturns. The oil embargo of 73, mm-hmm. the 80s when interest rates were 20%, and today, maybe the worst ever.
Yeah. Today is the worst ever. I saw dealers survive in 73. Well, it wasn't as bad as the 80s, the early 80s. And I had and have tremendous respect for dealers. They are very good business people. My husband was incredible. They survived times that were so rough. And I realized that they are entrepreneurs at its best, you know. They learn how to cut corners and how to do... One of the things that my husband used to do, he never fired anybody during the 80s. But if people left, he never replaced them. And then he didn't cut management salaries, but he cut his to the bone. And I said to him, you know, we have 3 children. I mean, I cannot survive. He says, I told you when we got married, we will not discuss finances. And it is your job to make it happen, period. You know, so... That's, you know, that's how we survive. But right now is the worst times. Right now we have expended so much in the last 2 years, and these are the worst times that we have ever seen. And again, we would follow the same rule that Jim put in. We try not to let people go, but we try not to replace people. And we only let them go when there's a reason for it.
Irma, you know, the world is flat. Globalization. You've just watched Jaguar mm-hmm. sold to this Indian company, Tata. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure people have come up to you and said, well, Irma, what's happening? What do you say?
Life goes on. You know, I mean, we just have to go. Times are such that everybody around the world wants what Americans had. This is still the greatest country in the world, bare none. There isn't anything like America. There was no other place in the world where I would have had the opportunity to become a dealer like I did in this country. But times have changed. Maybe we became a little bit too complacent or too sure of ourselves. But other countries are finding out that they want the same thing we have, and they're working out. Ford Motor Company wants to survive, and in order to survive, they decided that they have to divest themselves from a couple of their line brands, and they chose Jaguar and Land Rover. And I'm very grateful for Ford for what they did for us. So now we're working with Tata, and Tata Motors seems to be a wonderful company. They have more money, and they will be able to bring more cars into the picture and perhaps have the ability to do a little bit more for Jaguar. I gotta tell you, I met Mr. Tata recently, and he's a remarkable man. Very, very honored to have met him. He is very dedicated to Jaguar and Land Rover. And I just think that we all have to think globally now.
If we could give everybody, Irma Elder, true self-confidence, true self-image, so many of our problems, alcoholism, drugs, sexual addiction, etc.,
yeah.
would go away. How does a person get true self-confidence, good self-image?
You know, Jack, if I could find the answer to that, that would be the biggest gifts that I could have. I could bottle and become multi-millionaire, you know. But I don't know how you do it. I don't know how do you develop that. I think you have to believe in yourself. I have never developed it myself. I still am wondering how did I get here. And I think that we have to believe more in ourselves, and we have to believe about the simple way of life is very good. I don't know how do you give people self-confidence, except that do the best you can every single day. And understand that there are people that love you. Your children love you. Your parents love you. Your siblings love you. There's always somebody out there that loves you and believes in you. And that should give you faith in believing in yourself.
You've stated many times that you're a shy person. How have you overcome that shyness?
I really don't know. I was so shy that, honestly, this is the truth. If I bump into the furniture, I apologize to the furniture. I mean, I just was, since I was a little girl, I was always very shy. I was brought up in a very loving family, but very reserved family. And this was, how did I overcome? I just think that the more involved I got, and I love what I'm doing. I never knew that I would be good in business. I love the business world. I truly do. And I think that perhaps that helped me overcome my shyness. I become so intense and so involved into what I'm doing that I forget to be shy.
We're talking to Irma Elder. She is not shy.
No.
And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Irma Elder, and today she and her team own 11 dealerships, which comprised are one of the 10 largest Hispanic-owned companies in all of America. Irma, women have this gut feel. You've got it in spades. Talk to us about following your instincts, your gut feel.
I think it's an inborn thing in women. We have a sixth sense. And that's one thing. And we have a sense of people. That's one thing that I don't want to compare women and men, but we have over the men. I mean, this sixth sense that we have and this feeling, you know, that we can read people. And my instinct, I have always followed my instinct. Sometimes it goes against what the statistics tell me or against the papers that our attorney gave us, but then I always follow our instincts. It's just very interesting. And many of the businesses that we have acquired, I have followed my instinct. And so far it has worked out, and hope that it keeps on working.
You've stayed humble through a lot of success, many setbacks. Talk to us about being humble.
That's one of the things that our parents always taught us. Always be humble. Because the same way that you go up, you can come down. You know, and we're not any better than anybody else. It's either circumstances that set us here, or maybe that we had a chance of education that somebody else did not have, or maybe money that we were able to get that somebody else did not have. So we're not any different than anybody else. We're not any better or any worse than any other human being. And that our parents instilled on us. I mean, we're very happy to succeed at what we're doing, but for the pleasure it gives us, not to make us feel like if we're much more important than anybody else, because we're not. We are what we are, and we do not change just by becoming successful.
You also have a great sense of humor, and that's served you very well. What role has humor played in your success?
Well, let me tell you, that's one of the things that I did not mention that is necessary for success, and to be able to laugh and to have a good sense of humor. And first of all, you must laugh at yourself, you know, not only with people, but at yourself too, and not take yourself too seriously. And that's one of the ingredients for success, or to be able to survive, that I have not mentioned in the past. But it's one of the things that I believe very much. And you know, life is great. We're so happy to be alive, you know, and we have to accept that. I mean, I lost Jim. I lost my parents. I had a bout with, I don't know if you know, I was ill and I had cancer. And I mean, we survived that. So every day is a gift, and make the best of it. Every day is a gift.
I've heard that What you look like at age 20 is God's gift to you. What you look like at age 60 is your gift to God. People that stay young at heart, they have this sense of awe, they stay young. You have that. How does one get that?
Well, let me tell you. Again, I acquired it from our parents.
You want to hire me as your PR agent?
Please do. Okay. Let me tell you. My father was 95 years old when he died. And he was still alert and involved and wanted... My brother lived next door. And every single day he came over and read him the newspaper and discussed the news of the day with him. He was 95, and yet he talked like a young man. You have to have a wonder of things. You have to be aware of what's going around you. You know, it's, and always, always keep that in mind. It's just, be alive.
You've got a great heart. You've been very charitable through the years. Talk to us about giving back.
It's one of the nicest things. I was telling my assistant that yesterday. One of the nicest things of becoming what you call successful and what I call survival is it gives you the opportunity to do things for other people. Sometimes it's the people you love. Sometimes it's not necessarily a huge charity or something that is you read in the papers, but it's just people that you know that need it and that you love and that you help. And that's one of the most satisfying things that you can possibly give. I do believe that you get more joy in giving than in receiving. And I truly believe that. And it's been, and that's when you become successful and when you survive or you have a little bit of money extra, to be able to share or to be able to help somebody else is an incredible joy. It's just, I think it's very selfish, to be frank with you, because we do it because of the joy that it gives us, not because of what who we're going to help or what are we going to do, but it, because of the joy that it gives you. And it's really a way to be very selfish.
The North American International Auto Show preview charity party.
Mm-hmm.
$6-7 million every year.
Yeah.
The auto dealers in this community are extremely charitable. How do you explain that?
Well, you know, they have learned that through giving, they get a lot of satisfaction. Look at what they do, those dealers. Everybody says the dealers are tough business people. No, they're good business people. With the heart. And what they do, the $5 or $6 or $7 million they raise, is all geared towards children's charity. If you stop and think how many people they're helping, you take your head off to those business people. They work so hard. They go through very hard times. It's an up and down business. Right now they're going through tough times, but they're not going to give up having the auto show. And they're not going to give up giving up their charities. They still, I mean, as they're tightening their belts in order to survive, but they still are giving. And I think it's the same thing. They're very generous. They very kind people. Dealers are very generous people.
You're at work every day. Will you ever retire?
And stop having fun? I mean, you die and you're having fun in this business. No, I mean, someday I will. But, you know, working keeps you younger or keeps you more alive or keeps you healthier. Perhaps someday.
I quote now, this is you. When all is said and done, I believe the most important thing in life is your family and your friends.
That's true. When it's all said and done, that's the only thing that matters, is your family and your friends, your fate, and the good memories that you leave behind. I couldn't have done it without my family and friends. And I have friends that go through, when I was in grade school in Mexico, they still are my friends, and I still see them if I'm ever in Mexico, if they ever come to the United States. So and my children, I said, my grandchildren give me the greatest joy there is, you know. And my, you know, I still have a lot of fun with my sisters when we meet. And my friends, I have the same friends that I have had for years. Yes, that is true. That's when it's all said and done, that's the only thing that matters.
I was listening to someone the other day, and they were talking about that I'm too nice. People take advantage of me. What do you say to that kind of a person?
Well, I'm sorry that they feel that way. People take advantage of nice people and bad people, too. If you want to take advantage, you take advantage of both. We could possibly be too naive and not see. But then you have women's intuition, and we know who's not very, we might not want to face it, but we always know. Sometimes we want to close our eyes to it, but we always know. I don't think you can ever be too nice. If anything, I sometimes think that I'm not nice enough, but that's something else. We're not going to discuss it. So.
All right, last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners this evening?
Oh, my God. You young listeners, the world is yours. You can make it anything you want to. Whatever you want to, you can make it. Just, you know, one of the things that I have never done, I have never gone after money. That might sound strange. Money always comes when you work very hard. But I have gone after getting respect, surviving, and doing other things. And the world is yours. Learn as much as you can about the profession that you wish to take. And then enjoy every single day of your life. Enjoy your families, your life, your future. Enjoy your school, you know, and your churches. Live every day as best as you possibly can.
Irma Elder, I got to tell the listeners, between every segment, she'd say, how am I doing? How am I doing? That's like Tiger Woods saying, how was that shot? How was that shot? You were fabulous.
Thank you.
The greatest sermon ever spoken had no words. What you teach us in this community based upon how you do things is amazing. Keep it up.
Thank you very much.
Our guest next Sunday will be Patrick McBain, the CEO of Marketplace Solutions. And what he's trying to do is teach business people to run their businesses based on the Bible. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.